Global electrolyzer manufacturing capacity is currently around 10 gigawatts per year. To meet 2030 green hydrogen targets, the world needs to be adding 100 to 200 gigawatts of new capacity every single year. That's a tenfold gap. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, it's all about hydrogen. It's not a future fuel anymore. It's the subject of a fierce industrial race happening right now. We're seeing major moves in manufacturing, new breakthroughs in core technology, and massive government investment shaping the competitive landscape. The question for U.S. and European executives isn't if hydrogen will be a factor, but who will dominate the supply chain and who will be left behind.
Precisely, Susie. We're tracking three critical developments: a major manufacturing scale-up in China that poses a direct challenge to the West, a U.S. research breakthrough that could rewrite the economics of electrolyzers, and the U.S. government's strategic and sometimes brutal funding decisions that are picking winners and losers in the domestic hydrogen race.
Let's start with that challenge from China. An announcement on July 28th from a company called Shuntian Equipment seems to have sent a shockwave through the industry. Troy, what exactly have they built?
Shuntian has delivered China's first fully automated production line for proton exchange membrane, or PEM, electrolyzer stacks. They've supplied it to a major state-owned power company, enabling what they call gigawatt-scale mass production. This isn't a lab. This is an industrial machine capable of producing hundreds of electrolyzer stacks every month.
Okay, fully automated and gigawatt scale sounds significant. What does that mean in competitive terms for a German or American company trying to build these things?
It means China is treating electrolyzer production like automotive manufacturing. Automation eliminates human error, ensuring high yield and remarkable product consistency. This is crucial for reliability and longevity, which directly lowers the total cost of ownership for green hydrogen facilities. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this signals a massive acceleration in price pressure. The era of high-margin semi-manual assembly is over. China is preparing to flood the market with consistent, low-cost electrolyzers.
So, for trading companies, is the message to start sourcing from China?
Not exclusively, but they must acknowledge this new reality. The key is market timing and quality verification. Western distributors need to evaluate if these new automated lines can meet stringent European and U.S. performance standards. There's a window of opportunity for Western manufacturers to compete on performance and efficiency, but that window is closing.
So, what's the actionable insight here? If you're an executive at a Western manufacturing firm, what do you do on Monday?
You immediately benchmark your own production cost and throughput against this new reality. You must invest in your own automation and advanced manufacturing processes. The strategic goal is to reduce the labor cost component of your electrolyzers to remain competitive. And for investors, it means scrutinizing a company's manufacturing strategy, not just its core technology.
That's a stark picture on the manufacturing front. But while China scales up production, what about innovation on the core components? I saw a report from the University of Delaware on July 23rd about recycling. Is this a potential countermove for the West?
It's a very powerful one. Researchers there have developed a novel spray jet recycling process. It can recover over 90% of the precious metals, specifically iridium and platinum, from spent PEM electrolyzers. Critically, it also salvages the expensive PFAS membranes, which can account for 20-30% of an entire electrolyzer stack's cost.
Iridium and platinum. I know those are expensive, but why are they so critical for hydrogen?
They are the catalysts that make the water-splitting reaction efficient. Iridium, in particular, is one of the rarest elements on Earth, making the supply chain exceptionally vulnerable to price volatility and geopolitical risk. A dependency on new iridium is a major bottleneck for scaling PEM technology. This Delaware breakthrough creates a circular economy for these critical materials.
So, how does this specifically impact U.S. and European manufacturers?
This is a direct competitive advantage. By developing and patenting these recycling technologies, Western firms can create a closed-loop supply chain. This insulates them from raw material price shocks and reduces their reliance on mining. It turns a long-term operational cost, decommissioning old electrolyzers, into a valuable source of critical materials. European manufacturers, facing stringent PFAS regulations, gain a massive sustainability and compliance advantage.
What should a trading company that deals in industrial metals or components be thinking?
They should be exploring partnerships with e-waste and recycling firms that could adopt this technology.
there will be a new market for certified recycled platinum group metals and refurbished PFAS membranes. Securing a supply chain for these recycled components could offer a significant cost advantage to their manufacturing clients.
And the actionable takeaway for executives?
Invest in R&D for circular economy solutions. Secure the intellectual property around recycling and refurbishment of your own products. This isn't just about being green. It's about controlling your future supply chain and cost structure in a resource-constrained world.
So we have a manufacturing race and a technology race. But none of this happens without massive investment, much of it from governments. The U.S. Department of Energy has been making headlines with its Hydrogen Hub program. What's the latest intelligence here?
It's a story of both progress and consolidation. On July 26th, the DOE gave the green light for up to $1.675 billion in funding for two major hubs. The Mid-Atlantic Hydrogen Hub, or Mach 2, gets up to $750 million to produce hydrogen from renewables and nuclear. The Heartland Hub gets up to $925 million to create clean hydrogen for low-carbon nitrogen fertilizer.
That sounds like a major step forward.
It is, but on the same day, the DOE also rescinded $2.95 billion in funding for other hubs, leading to the collapse of California's Arches and the Pacific Northwest hydrogen hubs.
So they're giving with one hand and taking with the other? What does that signal to the market?
It signals a strategic pivot from broad support to a more focused, risk-adjusted investment strategy. The projects that are moving forward, like Mach 2 and Heartland, have clear offtake partners and strong economic cases in industrial and agricultural sectors. The ones that collapsed faced greater challenges in commercial viability and project risk. For U.S. manufacturers, this means the government is no longer just funding concepts, it's backing specific, commercially grounded ecosystems.
So for a company that wants to sell into these hubs, what's the key takeaway?
Focus your business development on the funded hubs and their anchor tenants. Trading companies and distributors need to align their logistics and inventory with the specific needs of these regions, be it for transportation infrastructure in the Mid-Atlantic or agricultural supply chains in the Heartland. The federal money is now flowing into concrete projects, not speculative plans.
And the actionable insight for executives looking at this landscape?
If you're seeking government funding, your proposals must be de-risked. Demonstrate clear offtake agreements, mature technology, and a rock-solid business case. The era of build it and they will come is over. The DOE is now behaving like a strategic venture capital firm, and they are cutting projects that don't meet a high bar for execution.
Troy, that brings us to the ultimate question. We've talked about making electrolyzers and funding hubs, but where is all this hydrogen actually going to be used? Who are the customers?
The DOE also provided a clear answer to that on July 26th. They've identified four key emerging markets where hydrogen demand is accelerating rapidly. These are data centers, ports, steel manufacturing, and medium to heavy-duty trucks.
That's a very specific list. Why those four?
Because they are all hard-to-abate sectors where batteries face significant limitations. Data centers need 24/7 reliable power, and hydrogen fuel cells provide clean backup or even primary power. Ports are concentrated zones of high emissions from cargo handling equipment and ships. Hydrogen can decarbonize them without long recharging times.
And steel and trucking seem like the heavy hitters.
Exactly. Steel production is a massive CO2 emitter, and using green hydrogen instead of coal in direct reduced iron processes can virtually eliminate those emissions. For long-haul trucking, hydrogen offers the range and rapid refueling that battery electric trucks struggle to match. These four sectors represent foundational, large-scale demand that can anchor the entire hydrogen economy.
What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers of, say, industrial equipment or vehicles?
It provides a clear product roadmap. If you build port machinery, you should be developing hydrogen-powered versions. If you are in the steel industry, you need a strategy for integrating hydrogen-based DRI. For truck manufacturers, the focus on hydrogen for heavy-duty applications is now an explicit government-backed trend. This is about future-proofing your product lines.
So the actionable insight for executives is to align R&D with these four sectors?
Yes. Map your company's core competencies to the specific needs of data centers, ports, steel, and trucking. These are not just potential markets. They are now designated growth sectors for the hydrogen economy. The time for exploratory studies is over. The time for developing commercial products for these specific applications is now.
Excellent. A very clear picture this week, Troy. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, China is aggressively industrializing electrolyzer production. U.S. and European firms cannot compete on labor costs. They must compete by automating their own manufacturing and innovating on performance and lifecycle costs.
Second,
the West's most durable advantage lies in high-value intellectual property that addresses core industry bottlenecks. The Delaware recycling technology is a prime example. Controlling the life cycle of critical materials like iridium and PFAS is a powerful competitive moat.
And finally,
government investment in hydrogen is becoming more selective and strategic. The U.S. DOE is backing projects with clear commercial pathways and pulling funding from those that are less certain. This means market viability and offtake agreements are now more important than ever for securing public funds and proving a project's worth. Align your business with the winners the government is already picking.
That's our briefing for this week. The hydrogen industrial race is moving at speed and will continue to bring you the intelligence you need to stay ahead. Thank you, Troy.
Thank you, Susie.
And thank you for listening to Troy Technical Intelligence. If you found this briefing valuable, please subscribe on your podcast platform of choice to ensure you never miss an episode. We'll be back next week with another essential update.